This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Trump administration met with leaders of historically black colleges and universities at the White House this week. The annual summit has taken place for more than two decades, but this year's was controversial. Advocacy groups, students, and politicians called on the administration to postpone the meeting after Donald Trump's remarks on the violence in Charlottesville last month. Among the president's sharpest critics is North Carolina Democratic Representative Alma Adams. Joining me now is Adam Harris. He's a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, and he covers news and policy on HBCUs. Welcome, Adam.
How's it going?
Tell us a little bit about this meeting. It was a more scaled-back version than had originally been planned, right?
Yes, the administration announced at the beginning of the month that they would be scaling back or holding a smaller summit as opposed to the conference that's been held for roughly two decades now. And that was in response to calls from, as you mentioned, advocacy groups, lawmakers, and students to postpone the event as the White House initiative on HBCUs had yet to name an executive director.
The executive director has been named. Tell us about that individual.
Yes, Jonathan Holifield. He's a consultant and a former NFL player, actually. He was appointed yesterday, and a lot of advocacy groups cheered the decision, especially the fact that an executive director had actually been named. But the big issue seems to be that he doesn't necessarily have the experience with black colleges.
Well, tell us more about this conference. We've said that it's been going on for two decades. I assume this is a White House initiative. This is not just a convention. Tell us about the genesis of this and sort of what each administration had hoped to accomplish with this.
Yeah, well, the conference was initially created to kind of be an opportunity for black colleges to build relationships with the different agencies across the federal government. What it has become this year, it seems that everything has assumed these political implications. So this conference, in turn, also assumed the political implications. But generally, I mean, the presidents and provosts and vice presidents who actually did end up attending the conference still hoped to get some of that same connection, relationship building out of the conference.
And tell us about the executive director, then. What role will he play?
The executive director, I think the main role is to advocate for HBCUs, both with Congress and at the White House. On a press call last Friday, an administration official said that, Betsy DeVos sets the education policy, but it is important to have a advocate in the White House for black colleges. And so this executive director at base is supposed to help build those relationships, but also advocate for more funding for black colleges.
Is there any sense over these past, 20 years or so that this has been going on, that this has been effective? What have been some of the accomplishments or some of the things that have been accomplished through this process in this particular format?
Well, I think you would have to go to the individual colleges to see how effective that it's been. Different universities have gotten different things from the conference. And speaking to previous directors of this initiative, they have found that, generally colleges do get some good out of this conference in terms of building relationships and kind of fellowshipping with other college leaders.
All right, well, let's talk about the critique this time around, particularly North Carolina Democratic Representative Alma Adams. She co-chairs the bipartisan HBCU caucus. She's been an outspoken critic of the Trump administration in general, but particularly in regard to its work with HBCUs. Tell us about her criticism.
Yeah, one of the big things that Congresswoman Adams has kind of pointed to is the lack of kept promises on behalf of the Trump administration. Early on, when President Trump signed his executive order on black colleges in February, there was a move of the White House initiative on HBCUs into the West Wing from the Department of Education. And it took a little bit longer than other administrations to actually make that move. Now the executive director is housed in the West Wing. But on top of that, these promises of funding and extra support, Congresswoman Adams has said, have not come through.
Now, the idea of moving that representative from the Department of Education right into the White House sounds like a good thing. It sounds like the Trump administration is going to take things more seriously. At least that's the way I would interpret that. Is that a proper interpretation?
Yes, a lot of people were actually very supportive of that move and had actually hoped that previous administrations would have made the move of the executive director back into the West Wing to have that advocate, firsthand in the White House, supporting black colleges.
So what are the hope? I mean, it would seem to me then that they would say, okay, well, let's give this a chance. Now we're moving in closer. We're going to have the president's ear will be a little bit closer. Let's wait and see. But that doesn't seem to be the approach that many of the critics, students, and certainly Alma Adams are taking at the moment.
Well, if you look at the Trump administration's budget proposals, one of the big asks from black colleges has been for more funding. HBCUs receive a large share of funding from the federal government, but they're also in dire need of more. And looking at the budget proposal, there weren't major cuts to HBCUs, but there also wasn't the added funding that advocacy groups in black colleges had been calling for.
This is not a good relationship at the moment between Donald Trump and these groups, but it had not been, it wasn't terrific between the HBCUs and Barack Obama. Tell us about their relationship.
Well, there were a number of programs that the Obama administration phased out that black colleges saw as necessary to their survival. You look at Parent PLUS loans and things of the sort. And, you know, speaking to black college leaders early in this administration, they did say that it was a sort of missed opportunity to kind of have that relationship with black colleges. In fact, one leader told me that, you know, he wished that it had been the Obama administration that had invited all of the black college leaders into the White House and that it may have been a more significant moment then.
When we look at the relationship now with the Trump administration, of course, things got off on a very bad foot. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos and her now infamous comment about HBCUs being pioneers of choice. What's her relationship now? Has she recovered from that comment? And how are things with her and HBCUs?
Well, she has steadily tried to move away from that remark. She said in an interview with the Associated Press roughly a month ago that she wished she had more forcefully decried the ravages of racism in this country. And there's still a fractured relationship between the administration as a whole and black colleges, but they are trying to mend that, especially with the secretary.
Earlier this year, Betsy DeVos was booed when she gave a commencement speech at Bethune-Cookman University, and now she's scheduled to speak at Baltimore University's fall commencement, and you spoke with the president of Baltimore University and HBCU. Tell us about that decision.
So, yes, he essentially said that, you know, he invited the secretary to speak in January initially and then made a subsequent request in February after she'd been confirmed. And, you know, it was a time when the secretary wasn't necessarily as forthcoming with her views on higher education policy. And Kurt Schmoke, the former mayor of Baltimore and now the president of the University of Baltimore, said that, you know, this would be an opportunity for her to come give the fall commencement speech and also express what her higher education policy goals and aims are.
What has been the response on campus at Baltimore University?
You know, there was a student walkout. There have been protests. There's been a petition. But essentially what President Schmoke has tried to do is meet with the student leaders, meet with you know, the faculty leaders to kind of calm some of those worries and kind of explain his reasoning for inviting.
It does seem like presidents of HBCUs are in this very difficult position. Obviously, funding is always the number one question, and the Secretary of Education is critical to that. And so the idea of maintaining a good relationship with Washington seems critical. On the other hand, you don't want to give, you know, too much, it seems to me, you may not want to whitewash an administration that has a poor relationship and make it seem like everything's okay. There, he's in a difficult position, I would think.
Yes, as is any college president who invites Secretary DeVos to speak. You know, she has actually traveled with ranging from a small group of protesters to a large group of protesters. And, you know, this past week I was in Nebraska and Kansas, where at the several different stops she made during her Rethink Schools tour, there were varying amounts of protesters. So she's attracted a lot of controversy, and she attracts a very divisive audience.
Another controversial figure in American politics is former FBI Director James Comey, who will hold an endowed chair, you report, at Howard University and then do a series of lectures at Howard. Tell us about that.
Yes. So in August, I believe, he was named the opening convocation speaker and also appointed the Gwendolyn S. and Colbert I. King Endowed Chair in Public Policy. And essentially, in that role, he will lead a lecture series of 5 lectures and invite a bunch of different speakers to campus. And it essentially, he'll receive a $100,000 basically payment for this, but he's donating back into the school's scholarship fund.
Given the historical relationship between the FBI and African-American communities, particularly the efforts to undermine the civil rights movement, what was the response on campus at Howard when he was named to give these lectures?
It was very divided. There was initially, there was a lot of pushback, you know, why are we inviting the FBI director to speak at our university? But then there was also that kind of waned a bit. It was an initial kind of shock and people kind of were confused. But after that, it's kind of settled down and died down.
All right, Adam. Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Adam Harris is a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Just ahead, a multimedia play that uses virtual reality to take us inside the war in Iraq. You'll hear about that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.